Amen, and thank you for that ministry, the Lord's Prayer, and we'll actually be looking at the Lord's Prayer today. So if you have your Bibles with you, please open them with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and I'm going to have to apologize to some of you. You have obstructed view. I'm going to be looking around the set here. Cool, we have a great production coming up, and I hope you can make it to it and invite a friend. I'd like to start with a song that we're going to close with. We'll close with "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. If you were to be really honest with me right now, could you tell me that you think of prayer as a privilege? If you were to be really, really vulnerable with me, would you tell me that prayer is really more of a burden to you? Like, when is prayer, do you see prayer as a privilege or a burden? Do you look forward to your times of prayer? Do you see prayer as something that you get to do rather than something you really should do that you wish you'd do more of, like flossing? You know, what I hope to do this morning is help you see how prayer is a privilege, how prayer unburdens us, how prayer is actually helpful, actually something that we could look forward to and enjoy, something that we'd see as actually a help rather than a, oh, I really should do that. So here we are in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Now, Jesus was praying. In Luke, you see Jesus praying more than any of the other Gospels. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Okay, so this will be relevant in a little bit, and I may come back to this map, and I may not. We'll see how the day goes. But Jesus has left Capernaum, which is his base of operations, which is on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. And we saw, as Mackenzie read for us, in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, I believe, that Jesus has set his face towards where? Do you remember? Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is down here. In 19:1, Jesus is headed through Jericho. We don't know which Samaritan village didn't want him to go through there. We know that he was headed towards Jerusalem. We know a group of Samaritans didn't want him to go through. We don't know which one. So the ESV has this map and this note, possible site where Jesus is refused by Samaritans, but we don't know if it's Ganae or if it's some other place. We know he's moving along between Galilee and Samaria at some point, but we don't know where exactly how exactly he gets down here, but we do know he gets to Jericho. So he's on the way, okay? Now Jesus is praying in a certain place as he's on his way to Jerusalem. And when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say," okay, so is Jesus like just want them to pray like stream of consciousness prayers? Nope. Jesus is giving them directions on how to pray. How do you feel about that? Don't you feel like prayer should just be telling God whatever you want to tell him? Don't you think that prayer should be just open your heart and share it with God? Don't you think that should be prayer? And Jesus says, when you pray, say this. Do you do that? I took a poll recently, an informal poll, of how many of you pray the Lord's Prayer? And some people, you know, kind of like loosely base their prayers on it. Some people don't use it at all. What do you do? Do you pray like this? And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And then in the King James, we have, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Now, one of the reasons that's not there, that brings us to our attention, is as we finish this, we'll see there's some differences between this way of praying the Lord's Prayer, this version of the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11, and the one back in Matthew chapter 6. So the longer version of the Lord's Prayer, we're going to go back there, Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 6 when he's over here. I'm trying to hold it still enough I can point it. At the Sermon on the Mount. So he's over there east of Capernaum on the Sermon on the Mount overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And you see him teach on prayer in the middle of Matthew chapter 5 where he starts with the Beatitudes, and Matthew chapter 7 where he's the wise man and the foolish man build their house, one on the sand, one on the rock. And the Lord's Prayer is right in the middle of that in Matthew chapter 6. So it's way up north that time, and it's right in the middle of a sermon, where this time it's one of his disciples asking him how we should pray. And you might be going, well, which is it? Is it the Matthew 6 version? Is it the Luke 11 version? Which one is it? Here's something to remember. Prayer is not an incantation. You know what an incantation is? So when Gandalf is before the gates of, the gates of Moria, is that right? Yes, Gandalf is before the gates of Moria, and there's an inscription on the gates that says, "Speak, friend, and enter." And he can't remember the magic word that opens the gate, because you have to get the magic word right to open the gate. That's like an incantation. That is not what prayer is. Or think of, I'm not up on a lot of this pop culture stuff, but if from a long time ago, but either way, I'm not up on it. But like with the Harry Potter stuff, right? And he's learning his spells. And when you do spells, you have to get them right, don't you? You have to say them right, or it doesn't work, or something bad happens. So I think sometimes we think of prayer like, I have to say these words exactly right, in exactly the right order, or it won't work. And that is not what prayer is. Prayer, we'll see in a few verses, is like talking with a friend. And when you talk to your friends, are you like, wait, I got to get my order right. I got to get this all planned out. I don't think you are. So what we'll see this prayer is this prayer is ingredients on how to pray. Sometimes you'll have more of one ingredient and less of another, but they're ingredients for what makes up a good prayer. So it's okay, and it makes sense, that one time when Jesus is on the road traveling and a disciple that maybe wasn't up there at Capernaum asks him how to pray, and then he teaches him how to pray, and it's a little different than the time he taught on prayer up in Capernaum in Matthew chapter 6. It makes sense that it's different because it wasn't ever meant to be a spell or an incantation that you had to exactly get everything exactly perfect. It's just these are ingredients to a good prayer. So, our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Now notice, I had to read that carefully because I am so used to Matthew's version of the prayer. You see, it's a little different. In Matthew, it says, as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. Where here, it's for we have. Like, we've already done it. And that's why I think these are ingredients, not an incantation, not a spell. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation. All right, so as I work through that, how many of you, I'm guessing, you don't have to raise your hand, I'm guessing not many of you are super inspired to pray the Lord's Prayer and see like, yeah, I can see that's a privilege. Just as I read it. But here's what the Lord's Prayer does. The Lord's Prayer offers us relief from self-centeredness. You know how? Because you could spend a lot of your day thinking. You wouldn't say worrying, you wouldn't say obsessing, but you could spend a lot of your day thinking about what other people think of your work. You could spend a lot of your day, you wouldn't say worrying, you wouldn't say obsessing, thinking about what other people think of the clothes you wear. Or your body. Or your hair. Or the car you have or don't have. You could spend a lot of time thinking about what other people think about you. And Jesus teaches us to pray, hallowed be your name. Your name, not my name. I think the Lord's Prayer, it offers us relief from always worrying about what other people think about us. Hallowed be your name. Some of you are like, well, that's not my issue. My issue is more like I walk around frustrated all day long that people aren't doing their jobs right. Or I walk around frustrated all day long that my kids are not behaving. Or, you know, that I'm frustrated all day long because my parents aren't cooperating or they don't see the big vision that I've laid out for them. My parents aren't this or my parents aren't that or my kids aren't this, my kids aren't that, my wife isn't, my husband isn't. Like, we're frustrated that we aren't getting our way, that people aren't doing what we want them to do. And to frustrated people who always have a tight feeling in their chest, who are always a little angry, we get to pray, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, not my kingdom come. See, it frees us from having to get the world to revolve around us. It's a really big job to make the whole world revolve around you. Really frustrating job to make the whole world obey you. Frustrating and arduous, and you'll be mad all day long, every day, as long as you insist that everything go your way. And Jesus offers you freedom from that and says, pray like this. Your kingdom come. Some would say, well, that's not my deal. My deal is more like there's stuff that I don't have. Or there's, I'm not happy with the stuff that I do have. Some of you would say, you know, you spend too much time, if you're just being vulnerable, you'd say, I spend too much time browsing on Amazon. I spend a little too much time looking at Craigslist. I spend a little too much time, and you know, I drive a little slower by the car lots, right? I mean, I like the online shopping, the whole thing, like, because I'm really not content with the stuff that I have. And discontentment is not a fun way to live. And to people who are always discontent, perpetually discontent, Jesus says, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. That's enough. What we need is enough for today. And we'll be content not with our daily feast, not with next week's daily bread, but with today's daily bread. He's offering us relief. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts. You know what he's offering there? Freedom from self-justification. Well, you're always the lawyer before God. You're always justifying yourself to yourself and to God or to others. You're free from having to never, ever be wrong. You know how stressful it is to never, ever be wrong, to always be right in every circumstance? A lot of us know because a lot of us live that way. We've never been wrong. You know, to always have to have an answer, to always be able to prove yourself right, incredibly stressful. And Jesus is saying, I'm offering you relief. How about just saying you're wrong? How about just asking for forgiveness? More than that, for we have forgiven our debtors. He's reminding you that you're not going to ask God for something you're not willing to give other people. So forgive them. Stop drinking the poison of bitterness. Just stop. Stop drinking the poison of bitterness, hoping they suffer for it. Stop imprisoning yourself, thinking you're imprisoning them when you refuse to forgive. Stop. You're not the judge. You're not the police of the universe. Let God be God, and you forgive. Let God be right, and you ask for forgiveness. Then, the last ingredient for a good prayer, lead us not into temptation. With this prayer, with this part of the prayer, he's inviting us to quit faking it until we make it. Faking it until you make it sounds pretty fun. It sounds like kind of adventurous. But it's stressful when you're faking it and not making it. When you're faking it and people are figuring out that you're faking it. When you're faking it and failing. And this prayer is just an admission of weakness. Just saying, God, if you let me be tempted, I'll probably fail. So don't let me be tempted. God, if you put me through a series of tests, I'm probably going to fail. So please keep me away from all that. It's just saying, God, I'm not strong enough. You're going to have to be strong enough, or you're going to have to keep me from away from this stuff. What Jesus is doing is offering us good news in the form of prayer. That the world doesn't have to revolve around us. That we don't have to make the world go our way. That we can be relieved of this burden. And just point our souls at God. This does not come naturally because we have a hard time believing God is that good that we really can pray, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's hard to believe. You wouldn't say that about everyone you live with. I just want to dedicate my whole life to making you look good, employer. I just want to dedicate my whole life to helping your kingdom come, child. I want to dedicate my whole life to your will be done, two-year-old. No, that is not how you and I live, so this is really hard for us to understand, and we're people that are naturally selfish, so it's really hard for us to pray this way. But Jesus offers us some reasons why to pray this way, why you can trust God like this. So here we go. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. What were we taught to pray for? Our daily bread. Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. And I cannot get up and give you anything. Like, there's a question mark there because it's a question. Like no one would really say that, would they? No one would say that. Like, you have, because people would travel at night sometimes back then to avoid the Middle Eastern sun, brutally hot. So sometimes you'd leave at sunset and arrive at midnight or whatever time you arrived. And why didn't they call ahead? Right, they couldn't call ahead. So you know, you couldn't even, it'd be harder to send a letter. I mean, it's pretty expensive. Send a letter and say, hey, we're coming. So sometimes people just show up, and Middle Eastern culture would tell you, you have to provide hospitality. If you don't provide hospitality, you're an awful person type thing. And so it's great. Someone shows up. You don't have any bread. They haven't started baking it yet because it's midnight. All the shops are closed. What do? You go next door. You pound on the door and you ask. And it would be like a friend who calls in the middle of the night to say that his wife is in labor and he needs to get her to the hospital right away, but his car won't start. Could he borrow your car? Who of you would say, I'm sorry, I left the car keys in the kids' bedroom, and I'm afraid I might wake them up? And I can see some of the young parents out there break out in a cold sweat and go, I might. You ever try to get my kids back to sleep? But Jesus is saying, God is like a friend, and he's not like a friend who won't be bothered. I tell you, though he will not get up, so the person, the grumpy guy who's in bed that won't get up, I tell you that though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, I love that word, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For whoever asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What Jesus is saying is you need to pray expectantly, like expecting an answer. Like if you called someone and said, hey, my car won't start and my wife is about to have a baby, you expect them to say yes. In the same way, you expect God to say yes. And so he says, pretend that God is like in there and you're out here and you're going, you know, in bed asleep with the kids asleep. Hey, your kids aren't asleep, are they? I need some bread. I had some people show up. I don't want to wake you up. I'm not waking you up, am I? Like eventually, he won't get up because he likes you. He'll get up so you go away. And that's the idea of Jesus saying, pray to God like that. But here's where this meets some of us. That we think God really is like the friend who won't get up. Like the friend who really doesn't want to wake his kids up. We think God really doesn't like us, or God is really annoyed with us. And so maybe that's why we don't pray. Is that true? We're celebrating Christmas. Christmas is a time where we celebrate how our friend, capital F, Jesus, remember what a friend we have in Jesus, how our friend, Christ our friend, came and joined us. He didn't stay up in high, clean, safe, comfortable heaven, but he came and joined us to offer us himself as the bread of life. To offer himself as the bread of our salvation. He offered himself to forgive us our sins. You're not praying to some grumpy old man that wants you to go away. You're praying to a good friend who showed up for you and offered himself for you, the bread of life. Pray to him. Go to him. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Jesus continues, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Notice that word ask. You might count those. Also the word Father. How did the Lord's Prayer start? Our Father. What father among you, if his son asked for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? And if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, well, thank you, but I mean they'd agree, we're sinners. If you then who are evil, even those of you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, this is the point, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we're to pray, remembering that we're praying to our heavenly Father. Now, this is encouraging because think of it like when a two-year-old, you know, pudgy fingers, barely walk, learning how to talk, comes up to you hearing a book like this and says, you know, in this squeaky voice, book, book, book. And what do they want? They want you to read this book. And they're asking, would it be a good gift for you to sit and read them the Bible Encyclopedia and Dictionary by James Fawcett? Would that be a blessing to them? They really believe it would be a blessing to them. They may cry and scream and be angry because they want you to read the book. But you know better than them. God knows that if he were to give us everything we ask for, it might be like giving us a scorpion or a snake. See, a lot of our prayers are, God, help me with, you know, exam week was recently. Help me with this exam. Help me with this question. Help me with this presentation. Help me with this job interview. What are those prayers? Those prayers at bottom are, my kingdom come, my will be done. Those are not unburdening prayers. Those prayers might be scorpions and snakes. They might reinforce our idea that the world should revolve around us. And so we're taught to pray, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. So let me ask, because some of you might be like, well, I think that's all nice, but I don't think Jesus really prayed like that. I think just the disciples were supposed to pray like this. And I'm not even sure we are supposed to pray like this. So I'd like to just show you a couple examples of this. And first, in Luke 22, you can turn there if you want. I'll be moving pretty fast, so you can turn there if you like. Luke 22. It's right after the Lord's Supper where Jesus talked about, when you take this bread, do so in remembrance of me. And they're talking afterwards, and Jesus says to Peter, who is also Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have, what's that next word? Prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. All right, so if you were looking at my list of ingredients here, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, lead us not into temptation. If you're looking at my list of ingredients here and you're trying to harmonize the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11 with what he's just prayed for Peter, I'm praying that your faith will not fail. Which ingredient would you say that sounds a lot like? Lead us not into temptation. Don't fake strength. Just be honest about your weakness. How does Peter do at that? Peter says to Jesus, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Peter, I prayed that you would not be led into temptation. I prayed that when you go through this time of serious testing, that after you mess up, that you'll come back and strengthen your brothers. Peter's like, bring it on. Foolish. Good idea to pray, lead us not into temptation. Later on, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. So it says Mount of Olives. Mount of Olives is here. Garden of Gethsemane is on the Mount of Olives. You walk down the Mount of Olives. You get the Garden of Gethsemane. From the Mount of Olives, you can see Jerusalem. The Kidron Valley lies in between them. He came out and went, and as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Which ingredient? Lead us not into temptation, right? And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Lead me not into temptation. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Which one would that? Well, your kingdom come, or your will be done here on earth, as is also being done in heaven. This is how Jesus prayed. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. All right, so what was the middle point? The one about knocking? What was that middle point? You pray expectantly, or you pray intensely. You pray unrelentingly. And of course, that's what Jesus is doing here. He's praying and praying and praying and praying. While the disciples... And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. There it is again. Later on, Jesus is on the cross. And this is in Luke 23. And two other criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And they came to the place that was called the Skull. There they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you are trying to harmonize these, the Lord's Prayer and then what you see Jesus praying, which one would that be? Right, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who've sinned against us. Jesus has already forgiven them. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. If you're trying to bring these together and say, which one would that be like? I would put it in your kingdom come. Your kingdom come with my whole life. And Jesus, of course, prays to the Father. And this is, of course, who you can pray to. To the Father. Your Heavenly Father. Now, it may be that you need to come to a place where you need to say, I need to ask for forgiveness. I have never done that. I've never confessed my sins. I have never trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, as the bread of life. Well, do that today. Trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Confess your sins and receive forgiveness and eternal life. And trust Him as Lord. And pray, Our Father. Father who is good. Our Father who knows what we need before we ask Him. Our loving Heavenly Father. Pray to your Father. Pray expectantly. Pray believing you'll get an answer. What do you pray about every day? I mean, what are you rapping on the door? I mean, what does God hear you going? I'm not going away until I get some bread. What are you praying about every day? I heard a pastor one time talk about how his kid wanted a drum set really bad. Really, really, really bad. And he said, in a moment of parental genius, he said, I'll pay for half of it. Because I don't want to be more into this than you are. And it's not that he didn't want his kid to have the drum set. He wanted to see how bad his kid wanted the drum set. And it may be that God is just waiting until we pray persistently to know, where is this something we really want? Is this really something that we are going to pray for? Or is this, how much faith do we have? It may be that God is trying to strengthen our faith muscles by waiting until we do some praying about this. Pray believing God wants to answer, that he wants to give you what is best. And finally, do you see any eyes in the Lord's Prayer? Like if you have your Bible open to Luke 11. Luke 11. Verse 2, I want you to find the I in the Lord's Prayer, or the me in the Lord's Prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation. I'd say there's no I in the Lord's Prayer, but you go, look, forgiveness, there's an I in forgiveness. But you know what I mean. These are all us and ours. This is a relief from having to think the whole world needs to revolve around me. This is a relief, and it's freeing to point ourselves at someone who is bigger and better and trustworthy. So let's sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. A friend who would come and offer himself for our sins as the bread of life. But sing, all our sins and griefs to bear, so we can give up the task of self-justification. Let's sing, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your name would be glorified by the work you do in our lives through prayer. I pray that your kingdom would come in our lives and the lives of this community around the world as you work through our prayer. I pray that your will would be done here on earth. It's already being done in heaven, in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones. Lord, I pray that you would give us today our daily bread, and that we would be content with our daily bread. I pray that for those of us who are worried and constantly thinking about how we need to get more, we don't have enough, that you would help us rest in your provision as a good father. Let us be content with our daily bread. And for those who are going without, I pray that you would give them enough. And Lord, for those of us who need to confess our sins and stop telling you why we didn't sin or why we were right or why they were wrong or why we deserved it, Lord, give us the humility and the sanity to pray, forgive us our sins. For those who are drinking the poison of bitterness or holding themselves captive in unforgiveness, Help us forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, for all of us who are weak, who know that our heart is prone to wander, who know that we will fall into temptation if it is before us, apart from you, but help us lean on you, bind our hearts to yourself, lead us not into temptation, Lord. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.